forgiving. And in that seemingly unforgiving world in which we live these days, you know, there's just this big concern that kind of looms over people, you know, and it's basically you better not express something the wrong way. Because almost anything said or done in the wrong way could come back to hurt you or haunt you in some way. Anything you may have said or done, even if it was years and years and years ago, can be held against you today. But I need to stop and say, please, please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. Not at all am I saying that, you know, we're condoning anything or dismissing things, minimizing things, or excusing things. But here's the reality. People can change. Hearts can be transformed. And even previously held views can evolve and change. But as some see it today, it doesn't matter. You will just always be guilty. It'll always be held against you. And so, the sins of the past, which may have been totally real, they are used oftentimes to shut people down, to shut people up, to silence people. Social media can come into play to be used just to take people down. And even if it's not an actual thing, maybe sometimes we're seeing some people today just because you have a different viewpoint. You know, there's no tolerance. You put all this together, you combine it all together, and what we have is what's referred to as cancel culture. And because it's so prevalent, and because it's just kind of the atmosphere that we're in right now, Christians too get caught up in it. Well, we always have, in a sense, too. Because we all can be very good at showing conditional love and acceptance. I'll accept you if. I'll love you if. And then along comes Jesus. And along comes Jesus, and he shows us something different. And what Christ offers is the exact polar opposite of what's happening in our world today. And what Jesus offers and who he is, to me, that's some really good news for a lot of people who may be wondering about things these days. It's a lot of good news. Because here's the thing, God looks at us and God knows what we have done. And you can underline the word knows two or three times. He knows what we have done. He sees the effects that our sins have had, not only in our life or maybe in the lives of other people. He sees it, he knows it. And even though he sees it and knows it and knows us inside and out, he still welcomes us. And that's what the lesson in Hebrews is all about this morning. And it says, every child of God can approach God even though there are known weaknesses. Even though. And he begins with this truth, and that is that God knows me. God knows me. If we back up one verse from where we started in the reading today, it says this in verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the word of God, Scripture, has the power to get right at the core of things. And this happens when we are exposed to it. We're exposed to it through our own reading of it, or hearing of it. And so it's like a double-edged sword. It's sharp. It cuts cleanly. And so with surgical precision, it just judges our thoughts, our attitudes, our motives, makes them known, brings them out into the open, lays them bare. And the writer mentions the ability of the word just kind of puts us in our face, just like looking in a mirror. And God is aware of everything. And in spite of this fact that God knows everything, we still end up playing the same game that Adam did. We think if we just hide behind some leaves or a bush, turn out the lights, nobody will know. God knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. Can't hide anything. God knows all of things that we say and do and think when no one else is around. And it's to him, the writer says, we must give account. It's kind of like maybe if you use this example, you know, when maybe a wife or husband says, so what's going on with the bills? How about we look at these receipts and how the money's being spent? And all of a sudden, comes out. The books are open. Nothing to hide behind. God knows me. He knows you. And again, where that passage starts in verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered, laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Everything. And here's the thing. You would think after that, God would say, you're done, you're canceled. That's just where our mind would go. Of course, God would say, all right, that's it, I know. But every child of God can approach God even though our weaknesses are known. Why? Because Jesus understands me. It's different. It says we have a high priest who has gone through the heavens. So when an earthly priest did their thing, they went into the tabernacle or the temple. And it says they disappeared for a while as they went beyond the inner curtain. It'd be like if maybe on this beam here, there's this great big wall or curtain here, and then all of a sudden I kind of disappeared for a bit behind and went back into the altar area. You don't see me, you don't know what's going on, but you know that I disappeared for a bit. Jesus disappeared. Got not just behind a curtain for an hour or two, it says he went into heaven itself. And what's he doing? He's living to intercede before the Father on our behalf. And what does that mean? It means, in a sense, as we consider our sins that would accuse us before the Father, he is constantly ongoing for all eternity saying, I died for, and fill your name in the blank. Their sins have been paid for. It's been covered. The payment's been made. Everything is good. I've taken care of it. Jesus is unique because he was not just a priest, in a sense, someone who represents God to the people or people to God. He was not just a priest, but he's also the sacrifice as well. He could have come and just kind of rounded us all up and just kind of herded us and put us before the Father and said, all right, here they are. He didn't. He came as a substitute, as a stand-in. He offered his life in our place as a payment for our sins. And it says, because of what he did, he's totally able to empathize with us. So he understands and he knows our weaknesses and where our weakness lies. And that's what makes him so great. It says he too was tempted. He too faced life. He did the life thing. But it was his desire to share in our humanity, the full thing, become one of us, so he could relate to us and empathize with us. Empathize is an interesting concept. Surveys being done, particularly among younger people today, show that there's a lot There's a significant lack of empathy that people have for one another these days. During Jesus' time on earth, he experienced childhood, making friends. He experienced rejection, death, loss, betrayal, suffering, good stuff and bad stuff. But he chose to be involved, to come into our world, no stranger to real life. He never walled himself off from just the realness of what people experience in life. So he knows, he understands, he empathizes, he has compassion. I am so glad that God doesn't show me compassion the way I've showed compassion to some people. Can you imagine if the way God showed his compassion was based on all about the way we would show compassion, the way we empathize? So God knows me, he understands me, and Jesus enables me to come into his Father's presence. He met my need, he came to my rescue. And now he says, come. He says, come. How? He says, well, come in prayer. He invites the weak and tempted sinner to come. And he says, come with confidence and full openness with nothing to hide. Don't hold back. We don't have to pretend. We don't need to hide because God already knows. You can't hide what's already really there. Why do we come? He says, you come to find mercy. And it's interesting where we are invited to come. It says we are invited to the throne. Now, I hear the word throne. When I think of the word throne in Scripture, I think of judgment and I think of judge. But we are welcome to, as the writer here says, the throne of grace. That's different. We're invited to come to the throne of grace, not the judgment. I'm invited to the throne of grace. God welcomes us to come. And how and why is that even possible? Because, again, of his son Jesus and what he did for us. So that you may receive. Receive what? Judgment? No. So that you may receive grace and mercy. And you can't help but stop and say, well, look at God's disposition in this, because it's huge. A total contrast to what we are seeing in our world today. Completely the opposite. Completely opposite. And what does this show us? Maybe in what Christ has done and who he is for us shows us how we should see and relate to others. Empathy, understanding, listening, compassion. We need mercies for past failures because mercy is not getting what we deserve. So we come, we seek mercy. And you know what? God offers it. Grace is for the present and future works. It enables us, it gives to us something we don't deserve. Here it is. Grace comes from God to give us just what we need at the right time to help us through. It gives us the strength that we need, the hope that we need, the care that we need, everything. So it's to this throne we come confessing our sins and receiving forgiveness. We come, we pour out our sorrows. We understand what we did. We understand where our thoughts were. We understand what our motives and our actions were and stuff like that. And we come clean. We lay down in our weakness. And what do we come to receive? Comfort. We find strength. Because Jesus was for us in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. He's for us now in his heavenly intercessions for us. He's for us. There's a beautiful hymn written so many years ago, "Just As I Am." just as I am, without one plea. I'm not going to beg for anything. This is how I come. But that thy blood, your blood, was shed for me. And that thou, you, bid me come to you. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. See, the beautiful thing, the beautiful good news that we all need to hear, in, particularly in this day and age, in our world today, because of Jesus, I can say, I'm not canceled. If anyone should cancel me, it's God. If anyone could cancel me, it's Jesus, because they really, truly know what has gone on in my life, in my thoughts, in my words, in my deeds. I'm not canceled. How great a news is that? And what does that teach me and share with me as I, you know, do life alongside other people in this world? What good news. What good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done. What you have done in your grace and in your mercy. God, we know you are a just God.